Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Here we go. Happy Thursday, everybody. Good morning, Mark Schlereth.
Good morning, Michael. How are you, my friend?
It's amazing. It's like, I don't know. I just one of those mornings where I just feel like I've been at it for a while, you know?
Yeah.
A little bit of energy.
Right. Got earlier, up early.
Earlier than usual, you know?
Yeah. Well, that sometimes that happens. Sometimes your feet roll, you know, you roll out of bed, your feet hit the floor, and it's like carpe diem. I'm ready to attack the day.
Exactly.
Let's go.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's do this, you know?
Yeah, right.
Maybe it's because the weekend is so close, you know, and I know today's a travel day for you. Later on, you'll be heading off to Boston.
Sure.
Right? You got the Patriots and Saints game coming up on Sunday.
Yes, I do. Been digging deep into the Patriots, which means I've been digging deep into the Jets. I know a little something. I mean, it doesn't mean I can pick games, you know. It doesn't mean I know what's going to happen on Sundays. I'm not the great Kreskin or whatever. That's a dated reference, huh? I just had this meeting, right?
Who's the preeminent?
I'm not like a David Blaine
prognosticator, you know.
Is David Blaine current?
Who's the Benny? Who is the top prognosticator out there right now? Who is the one that?
It was Chris Angel for a long time.
Chris Angel, but David Blaine does those like crazy.
He does tricks.
Yeah, but still, they're crazy, like magician guys.
Yeah, but we're looking more at like being able to read the future type thing, predict the future, that kind of thing. Yeah, that's what we're looking for.
Was that Nostradamus?
Yeah,
no,
well, no, that's real dated there. So,
right, but that's okay because now you're getting back into like medieval history.
Right.
Yeah, everybody
that
studied.
Becomes it, that's, even that's even, cool.
Even young whippersnappers are studying that, right? So we're good.
Speaking of young whippersnappers, Teddy Bridgewater, who is yet to turn 29, you know, for everybody who is saying that the Broncos need to find themselves a quarterback for the next 10 years, Teddy's only 29. So if you like what you're seeing and you think he can get better, he is only set to turn 29 next month. But he talked about the idea of being 2-0 and how the Broncos need to approach this week.
You know, honestly, man, you just got to always respect the game. Respect the game, you respect your opponent. There's no such thing as, you know, overlooking, you know, an opponent. Because that team, they work extremely hard the same way we do. And, you know, they've been playing some good football. You know, they're a few breaks away from, you know, winning certain games and things like that. But for us, we just got to focus on us, control us. You know, my mentor, he texted me Sunday after the game, and he was like, man, don't take the cheese. It's poison. It's rat poison. You know, it's those constant reminders of to stay grounded, respect the game, continue to work hard, because there's always room for improvement. And if you watch us, there's definitely room for improvement. As long as we focus on us, make it about us, and just control the things that we can control, we should be able to go out on Sunday and play our best.
Everybody says we can't overlook our opponent. Everybody says we have to maintain our focus. But as the great Sandy Clough once said to me years ago, and it has always stuck with me, other than that, you can never manufacture desperation. You either have it or you don't. You can't talk yourself into being desperate.
I love that. You know what? I've written that down before, but I'm going to write it down. You can't manufacture desperation. I need to write that down. That needs to come
out. Let it go, man.
No, I'm not going to let it go, Sandy. It's great.
Just some of the great advice that Sandy Clough gives everybody.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Keep going.
On a daily basis. The great advice of Sandy Clough. Follow it. Know it. Learn it.
Right. It's like Spicoli's teacher. It's like
again,
Mr. Hand.
Dated.
Shoot. This is not going to be easy.
So, anyway.
All right.
But you played on lots of really good teams.
Let me just ask you something really quick before you
sure.
ask me a question.
Sure.
Do you know who his mentor is?
I was curious if maybe you knew that. Of course I know you did visit with him last week, so I wondered if maybe he shared that. And is it something you can share?
I can certainly.
Is it you?
No.
My mentor, Mark Schlereth.
No.
Stink.
This is going to be interesting. This is going to be really interesting. Because this is the inside stuff that, you know, that nobody else probably has talked about or knows. His mentor, and it goes all the way back to his days in Louisville, Bill Parcells.
No kidding.
Yes, he talks to Bill Parcells consistently.
Huh, okay.
So okay. I had... because
that's not
because,
a bad mentor.
No, because of your idea, I reached out to Shannon Spake, who does sidelines for us, and I said, hey, listen, why don't you try to get Bill Parcells on the phone and talk to Bill Parcells about his two top proteges?
Oh. That was my idea, yes.
Which is Bill Belichick and Sean Payton. Now, Bill Parcells declined to talk about it because he'll talk to you off the record, mm-hmm. but he doesn't want his name out there and all that. But, Bill's a really interesting guy. Just a really interesting, I used to talk to Bill, back in my ESPN days when we were both working there. We used to talk every couple of weeks, on the phone. And I haven't talked to him in years, but, Bill's just an interesting cat. And, you know, you think it just goes to show you, Mike, you know, a lot of owners think it's just about finding a young head coach. It's not. It's finding relational people. It's finding people that can find common ground, even when it wouldn't seem as though there's a whole lot of common ground there. And, I just think it's cool that one of Teddy Bridgewater's major influences and one of his mentors is Bill Parcells. And I'm sure he may be talking about another mentor that he
That's a Parcells line. I've actually, now that you mentioned that it was the Big Tuna, that is something I've heard him talk about before. That's classic Parcells right there.
Right. That's like Parcells telling Tony Romo, nobody likes a celebrity quarterback. Don't be a quarterback, not a celebrity quarterback, right?
Right.
And so, yeah, that's a big time kind of Parcells-esque deal. And listen, man, I think it's really cool to have those people in your life that, you know, can keep you grounded, cause you're never as good as people try to praise you to be, and you're never as bad. You're somewhere in between, right? It's kind of like the old saying, don't judge a person on their worst moment or on their best moment. Somewhere in between, in the middle, lies the truth. And, you know, it's nice to have those people that will, when things are going really well, that'll bring you back down to earth and go, hey, dude, you know what? Listen, you know, your stuff still smells, right? And then the people that when things are down, that don't kick you, that help you up, that pick you back up. And I just think that's kind of a cool little story there about Teddy.
All right. Well, speaking of things that smell.
Smell yourself.
The best of Joel Klatt coming up, what he sees in this Broncos team, what he sees in Teddy Bridgewater. He'll share that with us, with you. Coming up next, Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Well, every week at this time, we give you a chance to hear the greatness of one Joel Klatt, who joins us each and every week. Want to make sure you great 6 a.m. listeners get a chance to hear what he has to say. Yes, yes, he was very excited about joining us. And talking and answering Mark's question about whether or not he believes Bradley Chubb will ever live up and play up to his potential.
Well, that's really tough, Mark, because as you know, and you dealt with maybe more than anybody that I can think of, but maybe, I mean, there are some guys that are just China dolls when it comes to like and this is, it sounds like a knock, and it's not. Like, when it comes to major injuries, they just cannot keep themselves healthy. And then there's a huge difference between little things that you can play through and cleanups and the scope here and there, whether it's elbows, shoulders, wrists, knees, ankles, whatever it is. And then, like, these bigger injuries, and the bigger injuries become way more problematic because it feels like once they start happening, it's just like a chain and or a domino, I guess maybe is a better analogy, and they just start to fall one by one. So can he or will he ever be that generational player? I think it's going to be hard because, remember, he's going to be evaluated, at least in our circles, as Bronco fans, as Bronco, you know, watchers, he's going to be evaluated to the Von Miller standard. And Von, I don't want to say single-handedly because that's unfair in the sport, but Von was the best player maybe in the NFL for a year and won a Super Bowl because of it. Like, Peyton Manning couldn't throw a ball through a wet paper bag that year, and they win a Super Bowl against the MVP of the league and Cam Newton, in part because he was so dynamic. And so for Chubb, I only talk about that because – that's the standard by which we're going to evaluate Bradley Chubb. That's a incredibly difficult standard to live up to, in particular when you look at the lack of history as it relates to modern NFL football and a defense actually going out there and being the catalyst to win a championship. It just doesn't happen often.
How do you look at this 2-0 start?
Cautiously optimistic. They had to be this way, right? If they were 1-1 right now and losing to either of those two teams, you talk about like jumping off of a building. Broncos country would just be incensed. They'd be beside themselves. So they are where they need to be. Having said that, this style of 2-0, fairly dominant, in particular last week, feels a lot better than winning on a last second field goal in one of those games and still having the same struggles or the same frustrations with quarterback play. This feels better, which is what leads me to be cautiously optimistic. They've got to win again this week because I just don't think the Jets are any good. Their quarterback has miles to go while he's immensely talented. He's got miles to go in his maturation and development into this league. So they're going to have to win probably in a similar fashion for us to continue to put them into the category, at least individually for me, into that cautiously optimistic category. They're in a really tough division. I think Vegas has proved themselves to be much better. We know that the Chargers are going to be very good. And obviously the Kansas City Chiefs, at least until someone beats them on this side of the NFL and the AFC, are the class of the conference.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And Teddy Bridgewater continues to perform at exceptionally high level. And Mike was asking me earlier, like, what do they need to do to kind of make this offense go at its next level? Teddy's been efficient. Teddy's been great. But when you look at the Broncos offense, what's next for this offense? What do they need to do to go from that 23, 24 points into the 30s on a consistent basis?
I actually think it's, and while they, you know, with Williams, they ran the ball well. I personally believe that it's becoming more dominant in the run game. When you can run it when you want to, at any moment that you want to, even when they know you want to run the ball, what it does is it opens up things, especially for a quarterback that probably needs the element of play action or the element of a dynamic run game to get the safeties down, right? Teddy's not just going to blow you away with his arm. He's accurate and he's efficient, but I think the next step is actually the dominance in the run game. While they've run it well, I think the dominance is where it comes in. And you were obviously a part of a team with Denver, Mark, that was the most dominant rushing team in the league at the time. And maybe, you know, up to that point, one of the better rushing teams that we had ever seen in the National Football League. But what came out of that was the entirety of the boot game. And one of the things that Mike did so well back in the day is he dialed up shots off of that boot game, off of that zone action. And how many times did we see John or Jake Plummer, even for that matter, give a hard fake, and it was kind of a half roll into the pocket, and then that's how they would get the ball way downfield. I see it all the time, you know, week in and week out in college football. The teams that are the most explosive teams on offense, it's not just because of their passing game or their talent at wide receiver or their talent at quarterback, although that helps. It's their ability to be dominant in the run game. Because when you're when you're forcing a defense to add a hat into the run game and say that we have to play with a plus box, then you're going to start to get bigger and better and more explosive plays in the passing game. So for me, I'd say that that's the next step for them, is not just running it well, not just committing to the run game, but Mark, being able to dominate in that run game.
There he is, Joel Klatt, presented by Audi Flatirons. He joins us each and every week. And I love that part of it, because it only amplifies something you had been talking about earlier in the week as well. So I think for all of us, when we tune in to watch on Sunday, how does this offense? Okay, the offense has been okay, averaging 25 points per game through the first 2 weeks, and we've always felt if they could get to 24, that would be sort of a magic number. They're 25, but with the idea of, you know, can this be a 30 point, not per game, but at least, you know, be able to crack 30 every once in a while? How do they do it? Both you guys talking about the need to be able to run the ball in a way to set up those big plays.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I think that obviously is huge, Mike, to be able to do that. And I think the other thing is don't look for excuses to be taken out of the run game.
Right.
And I think that's a big, especially in today's game, I think that is big, that so many people look for excuses. And when I was talking to Kyle Shanahan last week, Kyle was like, listen, you know, and it comes from his dad, right? We always had a plan to run against 8-man box. You're not going to get us out of the run by getting an 8-man box. Like, are you that dumb? You think we're not going to run the ball, right? But we're going to have a plan on how to execute running the ball in an 8-man box, because we understand the importance of running the ball in an 8-man box. And, you know, you have these philosophical approaches to the game, right? You understand the game. You understand what we're trying to do. But Kyle said something to me that, like, I'd never really heard before, kind of that like cemented or like put an exclamation point at the end of it. And he said this: we're going to run it against an 8-man box because the last line of defense is a middle third safety. I mean, there's one guy in the middle of the football field, and he's like, and when we block it up correctly, my back is one-on-one with that middle of third player. And if my back can't beat that guy one-on-one, middle of third player, then I need a new back. Right? And you're like, damn. So I never really thought about it that way. So if you know what you're doing and you know how to block it up, you're going to get one-on-one with space with a middle third player. Good luck if you've got a decent back. Good luck trying to tackle Terrell Davis. He'll shake you down. Good luck trying to tackle Derrick Henry. Good luck trying to tackle, you know, in San Francisco's case when he's healthy, Raheem Mostert. But it just was a different way of approaching and thinking about it and going, shoot, this is an advantage for us, because when we block it up, we're one-on-one with the middle third player. We're going to kill him.
Coming up, we have the Morning Brew. What Vic Fangio had to say about Bradley Chubb's ankle surgery. I'll be very curious to hear Mark's reaction to this. Also, proof that we've never in this town seen an athlete quite like Nikola Jokic. That's next, Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna keep writing, and you're gonna crap thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on.
Nah, not totally. Not totally. But he wasn't limping and all that, but it was, you know, it was a bone spur that was moving at times. And when it moved, it hurt, you know. And he never knew when it was going to come.
Vic Fangio yesterday talking about Bradley Chubb's ankle surgery, which he deemed was a, quote, roaring success. And I immediately thought of you, how everybody loves to talk about successful surgeries, when it wasn't you got the one going under the knife.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's how it always works. And by the way, he did say it was floating. So it was exactly like what I had in my elbows all those years ago that, well, you'd be fine. And then all of a sudden it'd get in the joint lining. And you know, think about it's very much like, you know, for all those people who say, well, Bradley Chubb, it's because he's too big and he needs to lose weight and he's not in shape and all, you know, all the baloney that goes all around, on the internet, you know, that all the, you know, all that goes on social media feeds. You think about this. Okay. You're going to go out and run a mile, right? Put a rock in your shoe. Put like a piece of pea gravel in your shoe and then go run on it and see how that feels on your foot. So when that little piece of pea gravel gets stuck in the joint lining, it hurts like the Dickens, and I don't even know how much the Dickens hurts. But whatever the Dickens is, I don't know where that comes from. But the Dickens is painful.
Yeah, is there like a measurement to Dickens?
I don't know. Like, is it like a volume measure or a measure of weight? The Dickens.
Right. Right. It's like, what does a Dickens measure?
Yeah.
Okay, if it hurts like the Dickens, what exactly is that? Compare that to something that we all know.
Yeah. Yeah, what is that? Hurts?
I don't know.
Well, I'm looking it up.
Look it up. Next on the Morning Brew.
Oh, man. Mattress Firm. Official sponsor of your Denver Broncos. No, Drew and I, we joked about it the other day. That's pretty cool. So, yeah, hopefully we can get some free beds or something like that. You know?
Yeah, the Broncos unveiled their practice jerseys. Have a logo on it.
Really?
NASCAR-like. Mattress Firm.
A Mattress Firm, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
I've got a Mattress Firm bed. Big believer in them. Love them.
Really?
I endorse them heartily.
All right.
There you go.
You want to hook me up with an endorsement?
Yeah. Like you need more free stuff. Teddy Bridgewater saying that he's not going to take the cheese. Not going to take the poison. Not going to get caught up in this 2-0 start. All right. You think his teammates are going to follow the same lead? Do you think there's any chance that the Broncos come out and are somehow flat, overlooking the Jets on Sunday?
Home opener, crowd's going to go crazy. They're going to provide a bunch of energy. And here's where I would be concerned, Mike. I would be concerned if you put on this Jets film and it was like, oh my gosh, they're bad. Right? Like, if it was just mistake after, like, if you put on New Orleans last week, you would think that New Orleans never played football, never played a down of football. I mean, the film from last week, and then the juxtaposition of last week to week one when they beat, you know, they beat Green Bay, what, 38-3 or something? The juxtaposition of those two films last week, they lose a game to Carolina. It's like they never one time have ever worked at football. And, you know, you had 9 coaches that went on the COVID list. I mean, you could see that they didn't know what they were doing. It was bad. I mean, just bad. So that would concern me more because I guarantee you New Orleans will bounce back and play well this weekend based on how embarrassed they are about that film they put out there because everybody gets to see it. You know, idiots like me get to watch it, and you're like, oh, my God, that's horrible. They couldn't block any. They didn't know what they were doing. They had no clue what they were doing. They have yet to block a jam front. They have yet to block a walk-up linebacker. They have yet to – they didn't do any of it. That would concern me more. I put on the Jets film. I'm like, you know, they threw 4 picks, and I get it. Your quarterback made bad decisions. But there's a lot that you look at that you go, they're pretty good here. They actually do this pretty well. You know, they're pretty good defensively. They've got some dynamic players. Man, they run the snot out of the ball. They know what they're doing when it comes to the wide zone stuff. So, you know, you look at that and you're like, it would concern me more if what I was watching on tape looked like what I watched this week from New Orleans on tape, because that will lull you to sleep.
Next on the Morning Brew.
I would rather nobody knows me than everybody knows me. So it's much better to nobody knows me.
Kola Jokic, man. Is it
nobody knows? What is it? To nobody knows me?
It'd be better. I'd rather have nobody knows me than everybody knows me.
I would rather nobody knows me than everybody knows me. So it's much better to nobody knows me.
It's much better to nobody knows me.
Have nobody knows me.
Yeah, I love it.
Okay, he's worried. It's a second language. Okay, let me hear you. Let me hear you speak your second language.
¿Cómo estás, Dad?
Huh?
Como está usted? Me llamo Marcos.
Nikola Jokic, I can only speak for the 20 plus years I've been here. So, you know, you can ask a Sandy Clough or somebody who's been around longer or Woody Page, but I've never seen an athlete come through this town like Nikola Jokic, who's such a great player, but is so freaking down to earth, right? So he was speaking with the media yesterday as the Nuggets get ready to kick off camp. And, you know, he's talking about how the team has been doing a lot of conditioning at Red Rocks. And he says, I have a complicated relationship. The complicated relationship with me and Red Rocks. He's also noted horsemen. He loves his horses. You know, we've seen plenty of footage of him back in Serbia with his horses. He said, quote, I like the smell of them. The best feeling ever is when you feed them. The sound of them eating in the stable is the best sound you can ever hear. It's just something that I think just a horseman can feel. You grew up around animals.
Oh, yeah.
Bears and stuff.
I grew up with horses.
You grew up with horses?
I love watching horses. They eat kind of, they move their mouth. You know, they don't chomp up and down. They move it and sideways it. Like they grind the food sideways in their jaws. It's interesting to watch and listen to them. We had a horse, by the way, named Victor. One of the smartest horses you'll ever. Yeah, he was incredible. He would go into his stall. You know, we had the gate, you know, the swinging gate in the stall. And at night he'd tuck himself in. He'd walk in the stall and he'd shut the door behind him. And you'd watch him do it and you're like, and you would tell people and they're like, there's no way horses don't do that. Right. And he's standing there and sleep. Right. And I'd be like, really? Watch this. And I'd grab an apple and I'd like, Victor, you know how you do that with horses, that little clickety thing, like. And I'd throw an apple out in his yard. He'd open the door. He'd trot out there. He'd eat the apple. And then he would go back in and shut the door. It is the damnedest thing you ever seen. Victor.
Victor the horse.
Yeah. And then one winter, they dug a big hole right before the winter time so they could lower him in there when he died.
Oh, jeez. All right.
That's what you do when you're a horseman. Sometimes you got to. Sometimes.
Got to dig a hole.
You gotta dig a hole?
You and Nikola Jokic can talk about that.
Oh, Victor.
Just gotta dig the hole for Victor.
I didn't know me and Nikola had so much in common.
You do have a lot in common. He also said about this upcoming season, we will see what happens. Maybe I will have the worst season of my life. Very self-deprecating. Do not think that's gonna be this guy, I'm not hesitant to say I think he's gonna be even better than he was his MVP season. He's in better shape. He's had a little bit more muscle. He knows his place in the NBA even more now.
Right.
I think he's going to be, and with Jamal Murray out for a while, he's going to have to carry a little bit more of the load. So
Jimmy Joe Jokic.
I think he's going to be.
Well, nobody has that. Nobody has his offensive skill set. So, I mean, he's the MVP. What can you say?
Victor.
Just leave it at that.
You have any pictures of Victor you can post, or not Victor? Yeah, Victor.
Yeah,
you can post on a Twitter or something.
Yeah, I could probably have my sister send me a couple pictures.
Yeah, I think
we'd
all love to see pictures of Victor, the
horse
that was able to open up his own gate and tuck himself in. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. James Merrillat. Oh, James Merrillat. Is there anything that he's happy about? We'll find out next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. James Merrillat from DenverFan.com joins us. He is presented by Old Chicago Pizza and Tap Room. And James, I know you're a hard man to please when it comes to this Broncos 2-0 start. Let me try to attack you from a different way here.
We're going to attack you. We're going after you.
Is there anything about this 2-0 start that you see as being legit, sustainable? Something that tells us, this should be here all year.
Not yet. Because I think
part of it.
Defensively, they've been really, really good, right? But they played against Daniel Jones and Trevor Lawrence, two guys who just, you know, quite frankly, aren't competent NFL quarterbacks at this point. And then offensively, I like what I've seen. I think Teddy Bridgewater's been great. But he's done it against a defense that Taylor Heinicke also tore apart and against a defense that Tyrod Taylor also tore apart. So there are reasons to be optimistic, but there are also reasons to sit there and say, all right, I need to pump the brakes a little bit. We've fallen into this trap before. I wrote about it on Monday at DenverFan.com. This is all of this is great, and they should start 3-0. They should beat the Jets on Sunday. If they don't, that's a disaster. But they'll beat the Jets on Sunday. Then the test comes in October. That's when we're going to find out. Do it against Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Vegas, Cleveland. You don't have to go 4-0. You don't even have to go 3-1. If you go 2-2 in that stretch and you're 5-2 after the Thursday night game, okay, then I'm buying in.
Okay, so for you, then it's going to have to be what week do you have to issue an apology if they are, okay, we're 3-0, and then they go 2-2 in that next four. So if they're 5-2 at the end of 7 weeks, is that when we'll get the official James Merrillat apology? I was wrong about Teddy and Vic.
I will say I was wrong about this team. I don't know, Mark, that I'll say I was wrong about Teddy or I was wrong about Vic. Because at that point, you know, they'd be three games above 500. So Vic would, you know, be five games below 500 for his career with the Broncos. So I don't know that I would say that. I say for Vic, look, if they make the playoffs, I'll say I was wrong about Vic. If they end up giving Teddy Bridgewater a long-term deal, then I'll say I was wrong about Teddy Bridgewater. But at that point, if they're 5-2, I'll say I was wrong about this team. I mean, I picked them to go 6-11. They'll already have five wins at that point. So clearly it's trending in a much better direction than I expected them to. And I hope I am. I hope I'm on here in 4 or 5 weeks saying, man, this team is much better than I thought. It is sustainable. You know, but I tweeted this yesterday. Look, Teddy has been great. But he's on his fifth team. When you're on your fifth team, there's a reason for it. So it's okay to be someone's fifth husband. Just don't tell me that the bride doesn't have any issues. Like, of course she has issues. That's why she's on her fifth husband. So it can work short term. I just don't think it's a long-term answer, and that's been my issue all along.
This came in on the text line as we've been talking. James is the voice of the people. Preach. Blech. Okay. Nikola Jokic.
That guy gets it.
This guy gets it.
He understands you, James. You guys are kindred spirits.
I do. That's love right. That one. I've stolen that one many times. I like that one. This guy gets it. Nikola Jokic gets it. And we got a chance to hear the greatness of him during his press conference, talking about his complicated relationship with Red Rocks and how much he loves horses when they eat. My biggest question is he actually going to be better than he was in his MVP season?
I think he's going to be. And I think he deserves a ton of credit for the fact that during the shutdown, during the quarantine, he went and he got himself in shape, right? Like, that could have gone either direction. We all went one direction or the other. We had too much time on our hands, and it was either eat, drink, and be merry, or it was, hey, I got all this time. I might as well work out and get in shape. He took the latter route, went down to the bubble, and saw that, hey, you know what? The game is easier when I'm in this kind of condition. I'm an even better player. He came back last year in shape. He's in better shape this year. He deserves credit for that because 3 years ago, I was critical of him, and it was the year the Warriors had all the injuries. I think it was the year Durant was coming off the injury, and Klay had his first one. And you're like, man, there's an opportunity here in the West, and Nikola Jokic comes in out of shape. He has to play himself into shape. It's like, man, that's not being an alpha. That's not being a leader. That's not coming in and trying to take advantage of the opportunity. He's figured it out and turned it around. So I think he's going to have a monster year. I heard what you said right before the break, and I thought the final point hit the nail on the head too. With Jamal Murray out, he's going to have to spend the first half of the season doing even more. So his numbers are going to be even better. I'm expecting a huge, huge year from Nikola Jokic. Now, I'm a little concerned that the team that everybody told me, well, you can't be mad at Michael Malone because they got swept by Phoenix. I mean, look at what he's got. Look at his guards. That same team is exactly, other than you got rid of Paul Millsap and brought in Jeff Green, exactly what they're going to go out and try and win without Jamal Murray. So that's a little bit concerning, but I don't expect Jokic to suffer. I think he's going to have a monster year.
Hey, I want to go back to, you know, we always talk about the dread term leadership, and what does that mean? And there's so many different forms of it. But just from the overall presence of Teddy Bridgewater and what he has brought to the team, you have to be impressed with the way he has kind of brought this offense together, don't you?
Yeah, without a doubt. And Stink, it's not just the offense. One of the moments I thought was kind of a key takeaway from Sunday is when Bradley Chubb was down on the field, Teddy Bridgewater was one of the players out there talking to him and taking a look at him and chatting with him. And it's like, man, how many other quarterbacks are going to get out there and do that? You know, just kind of engaged with his teammates, engaged with the situation. I just thought that was a very telling moment. Had nothing to do with throwing a pass or, you know, an audible or anything like that. It was just, how does he connect with the other 52 guys in the room? I think he's been tremendous. He has exceeded my expectations in so many ways. In the first game, the game you called, it was his ability to extend plays. I didn't think he had that in him, and he did it over and over and over again. And then down in Jacksonville, it was his ability to throw the ball deep. It wasn't one or two. I mean, they took, what, half a dozen shots at least? And then his leadership. You know, we heard about it during camp, and I was skeptical of, oh, he's got pocket or a huddle presence because he calls the snap count twice, and I'm kind of rolling my eyes. But now that we've seen a couple of regular season games, we've seen it. So, yeah, I think his leadership has been tremendous.
All right. Again, this one came in as we were talking. James stinks. Stinks like the Dickens. We don't know what the Dickens
is. Oh, I do know what the Dickens is.
Oh,
now.
It is? What's the measurement of something it's hurts not, like the Dickens?
No, it was something that they turned in so that people didn't want to say it's akin to the devil. So that's what it is. So it's instead of saying hurts like the devil, people exchanged it with the Dickens, so they didn't have to use devil back in the day.
All right,
gotcha.
Very good.
Like, oh my goodness, right?
Yeah,
I gotcha. Right. Hey, by the way, I enjoyed the Victor story. That was tremendous.
Yes, Victor. Thank you. Victor the horse.
That.
Hope he's his own game. Yeah. Thank you, James.
You bet, fellas.
Dead.
Thanks.
He's Maryland. Hey, James, he's dead.
Yeah, they dug up.
Yeah, the ending was kind of a bummer.
Big hole. Yeah, right. Big hole. Presented by Old Chicago Pizza and Tap Room. Adam Schefter, our NFL ESPN insider, joins us next. Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.